This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. So, go to New York City, visit a nice restaurant, and you might just find yourself looking over the wine list and find an entry that's a little bit surprising, a Michigan wine. Joining us is the chief restaurant critic and wine writer for Our Magazine, Chris Cook, who recently wrote about that little surprise. So, the old song suggests if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. How close is Michigan to bringing its wines to the world?
Well, we're getting closer and closer. I mean, I think that one of the interesting things that's going on with Michigan is that we're going back to the future in certain areas. You know, our auto industry, as we all know, has been in decline. But agriculture, on the other hand, is sort of picking up, which is what we were before we were an auto state. And so some of these wineries have been making wine for a long time now, and they're entering them in international competitions. They're being seen elsewhere on the professional level, but not so much on the retail level or in restaurants. And finally, what we're seeing is the acknowledgement, I think, of a lot of Michigan wines as being not just great little cute wines in some state in the Midwest, but really competitive with other wines around the country.
What kind of wine might we find on a nice restaurant in New York City?
Well, what's happened here that makes us so interesting is that a very small Michigan winery by the name of Left Foot Charlie has appeared on a very important New York wine list. That wine list is it's actually on two restaurants, one called Terroir and the other one called Hearth. And Terroir and Hearth are really interested in the Riesling grape, and that being our most famous grape also. So Left Foot Charlie, which has been made here for a good 10 years by a guy named Brian Albrecht up in Traverse City, has been out and placed in competitions all over the place and won, and that wine has become known elsewhere much more than it is known in Michigan.
Aside from the big wine regions in California and New York, we know states such as Oregon, Washington have been getting recognition for a long time now. But there are some Midwest states, too, producing some really very good wines. I mean, Missouri is one I'm particularly familiar with. Iowa also has some wines. Where does Michigan fit into this new generation of wines outside of places such as California?
Michigan is now, I believe, the fourth or fifth, depending on whose numbers you use, largest producing wine state in the country. That has come about mostly in the last decade. We've gone from about 20 to 30 wineries a decade ago to now over 100. I think we're 101 or 102 at this point. And so what's happened is that wine has gotten a lot more competitive in a way in-state. Wineries are producing a lot more, but they're also benefiting from each other's experience in growing it in state, and that's extremely important. And now we're somewhere, I believe it goes California, New York, Oregon, Washington, and then it's either Michigan or Missouri, followed by Virginia, Pennsylvania, and some other states. We've really moved up in that positioning.
I want to talk about some of the regions in Michigan. The southwestern part of the state has been a fruit-growing area. Like other states have started making wine from table grapes. I mean, sweet wines. That's evolved over the time. Now we're seeing these great wines from the tart cherry country up in northwest Michigan, Leelanau Peninsula, Old Mission Peninsula. What separates these areas and climate and the kind of wines or the varietals that they're planting in southwest Michigan and northwest Michigan?
Well, a lot of it has to do with soil condition and growing conditions in terms of weather, climate up there. Climate in the Leelanau Peninsula is somewhat different from down in southwest, where it tends to be warmer. But they're also more protected in certain ways by what they call the lake effect in the winter months.
Right.
So they produce the same grapes in both locations, but we're beginning to see wines that are distinctly different in character. One of the winemakers tells me that there's such a variety in soil in Michigan that you can go 100 feet in one direction, 100 feet in the other, and plant the same grapes, and you will have two completely different wines. He calls it the Burgundyization, if you will, of Michigan, in that Burgundy produces all those wonderful red wines, because they have such marvelous different soil patches very, very close to each other. Michigan's got a similar kind of a soil geographic base to it.
Slightly different climate, slightly many different kinds of soils, different conditions. You know, you get the hills of Leelanau and some rolling hills in Southwest. I guess it all adds up. So you wrote in your piece in Our magazine called Splashdown that Michiganders have an inferiority complex about making or doing anything well except for cars. How true is that these days?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's actually what I picked off there is a term that the Mexicans have. It's called malinchismo, and it basically suggests that anything that they do up north is better than what we do down here. I believe that Michigan has a bit of a malinchismo problem in that it's very hard to convince Michigan people that Michigan wines are as good as they are. Most of our wines are bought by Michigan because they're all sold in Michigan, and there is a certain base of support. But I think
it's not what you serve your out-of-state friends, baby, when they come to dinner.
Well, it should be, the fact that Left Foot Charlie is being sold in New York is a suggestion that we might want to start looking at this differently. And I really hope that that's what happens with this.
Chris Cook is chief restaurant critic and wine writer for Our magazine. Chris, thanks for coming in and explaining.
Thanks for having me.